They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, joining me today is Nyla Ridings. Nyla's been on before, but it's been a while since she's been here. And she is very active and is an amazing lady. I'm really pleased to have her as my friend. Nyla, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sue, and I'm very proud to have you as a friend. And as always, I appreciate your continued efforts to get the education out there that we so badly need distributed.
Well, you have been, you've been contacted by a lot of people over time with questions about the problems they're having. People have been telling you their stories, and so you know what's going on. You're also very active. You've written a whole lot of blogs for Ward Lucas, our mutual friend.
Yes, I have.
And so there's a number of your writing over there, a number of your articles on his blog about all kinds of issues.
From A to Z.
From A to Z.
Pretty much.
So give me a sense of what people seem to be most troubled by. What are the stories that you hear the most?
Oh, gosh, I hear so many stories, but I think the one that is probably the most painful that I hear is the retired person that has, or widowed, has decided to sell their family home, part with their prized possessions and treasures, and move into a maintenance-provided living arrangement. And then only to find out they do not receive everything that's on paper that they're going to receive. And what they do get is shoddy at best. And some of them, of course, have been hit with these assessment letters, and that's not budgeted into their retirement. And, you know, as you know, that means they have to make a decision. Do they go to the grandchild's graduation and spend that money to travel, or do they have to pay that for an assessment to the HOA that prohibits them from having that part of enjoyment in their life, as well as, you know, so many of these people are on very expensive medications. Then they're faced with, you know, I have to make a decision. Do I buy my medication, or do I pay this HOA fee? And it's a very troubling situation, and not to mention that when you're older, that type of stress really wears on you quickly. And I've known of people that have just decided that at that age, they're not going to do it anymore. They rented an apartment, packed up, moved away, and let it foreclose.
And lost everything.
And lost everything.
You said at the beginning that they did not get all the paperwork that they were supposed to get. Would it have made a difference, Nyla?
They got the paperwork, but what they weren't receiving is the services that are on the paper that say you receive these things are going to be done, this work is going to be part of your maintenance fee or your HOA fee, and then they don't receive those services. So they're constantly in a stress mode of having to contact the office or contact the property manager or attend the board meetings and say, you know, please, I've got this problem or that problem, or my roof is leaking, or, you know, the list goes on and on. You know how it is. And they're frustrated because they're paying for services that are not being rendered.
Well, that happens all the time. You know, a lot of homeowners, I mean, a lot of people think that this is utopia. I'm going to move. I cannot take care of a big house. I don't need that much space. And, you know, Nyla, it sounds absolutely ideal. It sounds wonderful. I'll go into this smaller place where I don't have to worry about the maintenance. There are other people my age there. There are other people who, you know, I'll have a lot more in common with. And it's an instant family, in a sense, once I get to know them. And on paper, it sounds really, really good. But the reality is, watch out, right?
Exactly. It's not what the paper says. It's nothing like what the paper says. It's nothing like the sales pitch that you hear. And this is why I tell people, if you don't want to mow grass, and you don't want to clean gutters, and you don't want to paint, then go rent an apartment. Because the person that owns the apartment complex, whether it's an individual or a group of investors, one thing that they are going to do is keep it maintained, because they know that if they let things go, it gets more and more expensive to repair it. So when there's a leak, they fix it. Where in an HOA, they don't care whether the roof is leaking. They're not responsible for the damage that it does to the inside of your house. They don't care if the unit next door to you has been foreclosed and the water wasn't shut off and the pipe breaks in the wintertime and floods that unit and floods you too. They don't care about that. But in an apartment building, they do care about those things and they maintain it. So, you know, if you don't like the apartment, you sign a lease for a year, 6 months, a year, 2 years, whatever. When the lease expires, you can move. It's as simple as that. You can just move. As we know, in an HOA, it's not simple. You first have to find another sucker that's going to take the place off of your hands. And that's not always easy to do.
And that's another problem, is that you're not solving the problem. You're just handing it over to someone else. And
and that's why I haven't sold my place, because I don't want to hand my problem off to somebody else. I want to try to get everything done that needs to be done, and then I can sell it to somebody and look them in the eye and say, everything's been done. I have no control over that HOA board, but I do have control over the maintenance of the house. And so once everything's done, I can sell it. And with a clear conscience, I can tell someone that everything is done. I don't want to dump a mess on somebody else.
So, but the HOA is still there. I mean, they're still going to have to deal with that whole nonsense. And, you know, going back to renting versus owning, you like to know that you've got some stability. So if you've worked all your life and you have the money and you've been able to pay cash or pay off something, it's yours. You don't have to be coming up with rental checks every month. And it's yours. You can put nails in the walls. You can paint it whatever color you want, except in an HOA on the outside. But on the inside, you can still do everything that you want, not so much in an apartment. When you leave, you take with you is a bunch of receipts, rent receipts, and that's
so
all
the
you
have. The trade-off there, to me, now that I've experienced this HOA living, and I've owned several homes before that were not in HOAs, and this has by far been the biggest nightmare of my life, but I would rather not put the nails in the wall in an apartment and know that the apartment building can't assess me tomorrow for any amount of money they deem necessary.
Yeah.
And if I happen to put up an American flag or something, that they're not going to sue me and try to foreclose and take my roof over my head for it. The risks are just too great. The risks are massive, as we know, and it's much easier to live in a comfortable apartment. You know, before I ever bought my first house, I lived in the same apartment for 5 years, and I loved my neighbors. They were wonderful people. We stayed in touch, you know, until they passed away. And they were just, you know, I looked forward to coming home at night. And they would, you know, they had a little garden on the side on a vacant lot. They would grow vegetables and bring that to my door, you know, bring things to the door. When I was, you know, home from work because I was sick or something, they would cook meals and bring them to me. That would never happen in my HOA.
It just doesn't happen in HOAs, period.
No.
Because they're so divisive. I mean, they don't foster a sense of community. They don't foster any kind of friendship. There's nothing familial about them. They just, everybody is, looks at everybody else and is suspicious of them. They worry about whether they're going to tattle on them. I mean, it's just a whole different way of living.
Well, people can be your friend today in the HOA, but look out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because I've had that happen here where, you know, people have come to me, asked me to write letters. I've written so many letters for people. You know, you can't imagine all the stuff I've done. And the minute they get on that board or they get to become cronies with the board, they turn on you. They turn on you.
They do. They really do. So that, do you hear from a lot of people who are in that situation?
Most of the people that I talk to that are in HOAs don't even know their neighbors. They don't want to know their neighbors. Because there's been a conflict over something. You've got the two sides, you know, the supporters of the board and those who don't. And then you've got the people in the middle of the road that don't want to say anything because they don't want to be associated with the good guys or the bad guys. They want to try to stay in the middle. And that's the same way when, you know, in my HOA where people will send me emails and tell me, I support what you're doing. Thank you so much, but I won't speak to you if I see you out on the street, or I won't speak to you in the grocery store because they don't want to be seen speaking to me. They don't want to be on that radar screen. So people, you know, they don't move into the, I mean, they might move into the HOA with the thought or the plan or the intention of becoming good friends with their neighbors. But it's not long before they learn, oh, boy, I don't know who's my enemy and who's my friend in here, so I'm just going to stick to myself.
So tell us what's going on. I mean, you've referred to what's going on in your HOA. You've talked about fixing problems. You've talked about your neighbors who won't be seen talking to you, won't stand up for you, but silently support you. What is going on in your HOA? Can you tell us?
Well, my HOA right now, the latest thing that just happened, we had a gentleman in the neighborhood that sued the HOA because they were covering up damaged frame on his house with new siding. He went to court on a jury trial back in the fall of, I think it was 2013. It might have been 2012. I can't remember now. Anyway, he won all counts of the lawsuit. And part of that, the insurance company for the HOA wrote him a settlement check. In January of this year, the HOA decided to sue and try to foreclose on his property for that settlement money. So he contacted me when he learned that the house was actually being foreclosed on from a realtor that called him and said, would you like to try to short sell before your house forecloses? He said, what house? What foreclosure? And she, you know, she told him, the house that you have you know, in my HOA. And he said, that house is not in foreclosure. That house is paid for. There's no mortgage on that. She said, oh, yes, it's on the court records. The house is in foreclosure. So he pulls it up on the court records, and sure enough, but he hadn't been served yet. So then I told him, I said, call the sheriff and ask him to serve you so you can see what the documents are about. So he did, and he received the papers, and he called me, and he said, they're trying to foreclose on my house over this money, over this settlement money. So long story short, we talked about it, and I said, who wrote you the check? And he said, well, they wrote it to the law firm and me jointly, and I went by the law firm and signed it. I said, okay. So the HOA did not write you a check. Nope. And I said, okay, this sounds fishy to me, and I think the insurance commissioner's office should know about it. So he filed a claim with the insurance commissioner's office, and they were very interested in it. I don't know how that came out, but I know that last night I saw on the court records the case has been dismissed. So I looked closer, and the homeowner never hired an attorney. They never went before the judge. It just says the case was dismissed. So this morning I called to the court clerk and asked, who dismissed this case? What caused this dismissal? It was the attorney from the law firm for the HOA that dismissed it. So my HOA has spent all this money now on this attorney, and for some mysterious reason, that dismissal has been done. No record of anything being done in the court, and the lien that they had placed on his house for the money, the county has no records of that lien anymore. Very, very mysterious what's happened here, but they've spent the dues to have an attorney involved in something that now we don't really know what's going on.
This neighbor of yours, is he a friend? How good a friend is he?
Well, he has been a friend, but once this claim with the insurance commissioner's office was filed, he didn't call anymore, and I called him a couple of times, and he didn't return my calls. And that's another mysterious situation, because we've always been friendly, but, you know, whenever he needed something, he always called me about a question of with this HOA. So I don't know what the story is. It's just very mysterious. The whole thing is very mysterious. But one minute there's a lien on the house, the next minute there's a lawsuit for foreclosure, and the next minute there's been no action in the court, but there's a dismissal.
I was wondering if there's any way he could file a suit against the HOA for slander of title, but probably not. Interesting, very, very interesting. And in terms of the money that was spent, the legal fees by the HOA, shouldn't the homeowners know about that? Shouldn't they be told that, hey, we used your money to harass one of your neighbors?
Well, they should be. I think that they should be. But just like the lawsuit that I'm involved in right now with the HOA, the neighbors don't know about it. They have no clue.
Why?
Because, well, all the discussion about it is done in executive session. So there's no discussion openly. And if you look at the newsletters, they have it have everything noted as collection number 14, collection number 12, collection number 6. So who knows whose names are associated with those numbers? The board. They're going to proceed with collection number 14. That's what the newsletter, you know, from the notes from the meetings say. It's all very vague. One of the newsletters says there were no notes taken because the secretary was ill.
Oh, jeez, really?
So and nobody knows. Had a board meeting, but the secretary was ill, so they didn't take any notes.
So nobody took notes. Wonderful.
This is the craziness that I deal with, Shu. This is why I tell people, today you might live in a good HOA, but one vote can change everything. And you don't have a clue who you're going to have on that board. And most of the time, it's just not people that have business experience or strategic planning or financial management or project management, no experience like that. Yet they have access, like in our situation, to almost $1.5 million a year.
How big is your HOA?
513 units.
Okay.
And the dues are $250 a month, and on the freestanding homes, they're, I think, about $20 less, so they're about $230. So you're still, if you take 513 and multiply it out,
yeah,
you're talking a lot of money.
So
the
HOA takes care of all the outside of the buildings, of the units, is sort of like a condo?
On paper.
On paper. Okay. Okay. So how, when do you go to court? How close are you to getting your case dismissed or terminated?
Well, our trial was set for June, but the HOA attorney, I guess, felt she couldn't be prepared by then. So they canceled that date and we're waiting to set another trial date. So I don't know when it's going to go to trial now. We've been trying to work this out. We had it worked out a year ago, and the HOA came back and changed the document, the settlement document, and then told the judge I refused to sign it. I didn't refuse to sign the document as agreed. I refused to sign the document that they changed. There's a big difference. You can't, you know, you and I know you can't go into any sort of a negotiation or mediation or arbitration or anything else, and when you don't like the outcome, just rewrite the paperwork afterwards and say, well, the other person wouldn't sign it.
Sounds a bit like 1984, huh?
It's crazy.
Just go back and rewrite history.
Exactly.
Yeah, well.
No, I said, I won't sign something I didn't agree to, and the judge agreed with me. He said, no, you shouldn't sign what you're not agreeing to. And I said, so when I didn't sign it, they're telling you we didn't have an agreement. We did have an agreement. The mediator sent the judge. The mediator was also a judge. But in our county, you can ask for the mediator to be one of the judges. Not obviously the judge on the case that's assigned to the case, but another judge can be the mediator, which is what we did.
Mm-hmm.
So the judge that was the mediator sent a message to the judge on the case and said, yes, we've reached an agreement. But then when we went back before the judge, they said, no, we didn't have an agreement. And he was really confused. He said, well, I received a message from the judge that was the mediator. They said, well, Nyla wouldn't sign it. I said, no, no, wait a minute. I wouldn't sign what I didn't agree to. They always leave out those pertinent details,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
So that's where we're at. I thought we could have this resolved a year ago. I thought we did have it resolved, actually, but we didn't, and now they want a four-day jury trial over a driveway and a fence.
So what's the deal with the driveway? Tell us about the driveway.
The driveway dropped. It ended up dropping below the concrete garage floor. So every time it rained, all the rain washed underneath the garage floor down into the basement, or against the basement wall, and then flooded the basement. So I ended up having to have the basement floor jackhammered and a sump pump put in and destroyed the basement. The basement's finished. So it destroyed all of that. I had to have all that redone. And I've had contractors out here that have told me there is no way to fix the problem with the driveway unless you tear the driveway out and put a new bed underneath it. It's an asphalt driveway. So what these contractors have told me is that you have to put down fairly large rock and then smaller rock and then gravel and then sand, and then you have to pack that down with some sort of a weighted type, you know, roller machine or whatever. And then you can put the asphalt on top of it. Then it has a solid base underneath it. Well, what my HOA did, they came out and put some sealant on it. As a matter of fact, they put sealant on it three or four times now. And so I said, well, that's like putting a new roof on the house that has a foundation problem. It's not going to work. But they refuse to do what needs to be done right. They would rather waste all this money isn't going to fix the problem.
Yeah, it is a waste.
It is a total waste. And it got so bad that I had to put my vehicle in four-wheel drive to even get into my garage.
Wow.
So that tells you how bad it got. So they came out here and they did a little patch job, which is already falling back, you know, it's dropping back down again. And I said, I want to sell this place, but again, I don't want to sell it to somebody that I know they're going to have problems. Do this right, take the driveway out, put a new driveway in. No, they're not going to do that. That was what we agreed to. And then they changed it and said they would just repair it, that they wouldn't replace the driveway. Then the fence is rotted, and it was falling down. You couldn't put a dog or a child in the backyard. The fence was falling down, and that's their responsibility according to their chart of responsibilities in the 2007 annual report. But what they're saying now is, get ready for this, Shu. The 2007 annual report chart of responsibilities is no longer applicable because the guy that wrote it is dead.
Oh, okay. That makes perfectly good sense. The U.S.
Constitution.
I was going to say the U.S. Constitution no longer applies because the guys who wrote it, they're all dead now.
So based on that, anything you buy, if you're not happy, find out who wrote it and if they're alive or dead, and then you know whether it's still applicable.
But what do you? How can you prevent them from dropping dead the day after you buy it?
You can't, and this is what's so silly about it.
The whole thing is ridiculous. So you've got your problems, and so you know what it's like to deal with them personally. You hear from people, and you said the most heartbreaking stories are the ones from the retirees, the widowed people who find themselves in these horrible situations. What other types of stories do you hear a lot about? What are the major problems out there?
Well, the second most heartbreaking are the people, the young people, they've gotten out of college, or they've saved up enough money to buy a place, or grandparents or parents have helped them with a down payment, and they thought, oh, this is great. Instead of renting an apartment, I can just buy into this place. Well, then I just met a guy a few weeks ago that was moving out of here, but he didn't even know until he got the bill in the mail that he had to pay $250 a month. Once he bought it. So he's like, what is this? And he called the realtor, and the realtor said, oh, well, that's your HOA fee. And he said, what HOA fee? You didn't tell me about that. So long story short, he's had nothing but problems in here because he didn't realize, first off, that he bought into an HOA. Secondly, that he was going to have to pay $250 a month to the HOA. And thirdly, that he can't do what he wants to do with his house. For example, he has a deck, and he put three brackets out there, and he put out an American flag and a Marine Corps flag and a Navy flag.
Uh-oh.
His dad was in the Marine Corps, and his uncle was in the Navy. So he put the three flags out, and the HOA president came and said, you can only have two flags.
Oh.
He said, no, I'm not taking those flags down. So they went around and around and around, and I don't remember what he told me, how that came out, but he said, you know, I told her exactly why I have those three flags, and she said, I'm sorry, you have to take one of them down. he finally sold, and he went outside of town here, and I think he told me he bought 10 or 15 acres. He said, I'll never live in another HOA again. I've run into several of these young people that purchased not knowing how restrictive these places are, and they didn't know there was a $1 million loan in here. They didn't know about all these lawsuits, and they certainly did not know about all the risk that they had signed on for.
I'm surprised that in this day and age that people still don't know. I mean, most states have some kind of laws that require realtors or sellers, basically, to inform the buyers of what they're buying, because in the old days, nobody knew.
Not in Kansas. There's nothing that requires you to tell somebody, you know, all the, as far as I know anyway, I don't have a real estate license, but there's nothing that I am aware of that tells the real estate agent that they have to inform the buyer of the risk that they're buying into with buying in an HOA.
No, they don't have, nobody, listen, when you look at it, it's the people who gain the most out of HOAs are the governments. They're not going to do anything to screw that up. So they're not going to say you have to tell them the risks and the downfalls of living in an HOA. But what a lot of them have done is they require the seller to provide them with the governing documents. They're required to be notified that there is an HOA, how much the dues are. And depending on the state, they have a required list of documents that they're supposed to be given. Articles of incorporation, the declaration, the bylaws, you know, anything. Some states include lawsuits. Some states include the insurance information, the budget. Obviously, the budget needs to go out. So people are given all of that stuff. Problem is, Nyla, it comes up to a huge packet of dry, dull, boring legalese mumbo jumbo.
And you get it the day you're sitting at the closing table.
Well, in Virginia, you get it beforehand, and you have 72 hours to look through that stuff and back out of a purchase if you so wish. But here's the problem. When you buy a house, it's an emotional purchase.
Yes.
And all of that mumbo jumbo means absolutely nothing.
And you've got a million things you're doing in that 72 hours before you close.
Yeah. You're packing, you're moving, you're, you know,
getting utilities connected, arranging moving services, you know, going out and buying boxes, whatever it is. The last thing you have time to do is sit down and read through several hundred pages of documents.
Right. Right.
It's so wrong, and that's why I've said so many times, Sue, that I would love to see it be an absolute law, and no exceptions to this, that if I'm a real estate agent and you came to me and I was going to show you a property and I pulled up all my listings to show you, all of the ones that are in HOAs, I would have to say, Shu, I have to give you this sheet. I need for you to read it and I need for you to sign it. And you read it, and it's very simplified. It says, if you decide to purchase this property at this address, it is part of an HOA. When you purchase it, you will sign away your constitutional rights. You'll become business partners with all of your neighbors in a nonprofit corporation, and you'll become the guarantor for payment on all debts, loans, lawsuits, settlements, liabilities, construction defects, and disaster rebuilds. And then you sign it and you date it. And if you say, oh, no, I don't want this, then I'm not allowed to show you that property. Up front, you know all the risk. Basically, you know all the risk right there.
I think that's a grand idea, but I think I would do it a little differently. I did sell real estate at one time, so... when you have your buyers walk in and sit down and you're trying to figure out what they want, you know, how many bedrooms, condos, high-rise, what part of town, what school district, how much, how many bedrooms, and all of that. I used to tell them that, I think, is when I would say, we have all of these houses that are part of an HOA, and this is what that means. I have to show you everything on the market that actually, because of the fair housing laws, that actually fit the criteria you just gave me. Four bedrooms in this part of town, in this school district, single-family home, high-rise, townhouse, you know, whatever it is you want, you need to understand that if there's an HOA, this is what you're going to be doing. Now, please ask me to limit my search in non-HOA housing. If this is not something you want, limit my search, because I can't do that. Legally, I can't do that.
But, Shu, somebody, if every real estate agent and broker had the level of integrity that you have, we wouldn't have anybody buying in and didn't know they were buying in an HOA.
But let me tell you
but
what
that's
happened.
That's the problem. They don't have the integrity that you have.
Here's what happened. They say, I know all about HOAs. I know they can be abusive. And we're going back 20, 30 years when I did this, okay? So it's not as bad. It wasn't as bad then as it is now. But they said, no, we understand, but they protect property values, and they're newer, and they have amenities, and, you know, because what I wanted to avoid was having them go in and fall in love. Remember I said it's an emotional purchase?
Mm-hmm.
So it's better to not get them to fall in love with the brownies that remind them of grandma's house that are baking.
Mm-hmm.
Then to take them there and say, well, if you buy this, this is what you're going to get. I mean, they're already emotionally in love. You know, you fall in love with someone, you say, oh, but, you know, he's this, that, and the other. It's too late at that point. You need to do
it before. Yeah, once the heart is committed.
Yeah, you need to do it before that. You need to sit down and say, look, the problem is here where I am. There are no options.
I know, and that's becoming more of a problem all over the country because everything that's being built, you know, has an HOA attached to it, and that's what I think is so wrong. We already know, you know, at least a handful or more of us do, that this is a failed concept. Why are we building more of a failed concept?
Why? Because you have the environmentalists who want to shunt everybody into certain areas, and to fit everyone in, you're going to have, you know, it's going to be more condensed. You have municipal governments who don't want to do anything. I mean, if you look where I am now, they're building like $800,000+, what amounts to what looks like shipping crates that are standing up on their side.
Oh, mm-hmm.
They started $800,000. There's no front yard. There's no backyard. There's an alleyway. You know, but the thing is, if there was a yard, if there was space, if there was room there, that space does not pay taxes. And they want, you see, they want the more expensive housing because that increases their tax base exponentially.
Oh, right.
Exponentially.
Yes, I understand that. And, you know, I've thought about this so many times, too. Now that I know what I know, if somebody said, okay, we're going to build a subdivision with houses, there will be maintenance done, there will be, you know, the yards will be mowed, the trees will be trimmed, all of that. There is no HOA, but the taxes on it will be three times the amount that they normally would be, but it'll include all of these things. And the city will be the one that hires the vendors that, you know, and the contractors that come out and do the work, and they oversee it. And they will have a meeting every quarter or whatever that you can come and attend the meeting and have something to say. But the people that are running it are all going to be hired by the city, and they will be educated in that field. Would you do it?
No.
And to that, I would say yes, I would. I would rather pay the money to the city to have professional people managing the operation and hiring the contractors and overseeing the work than to have a bunch of people that have no clue what they're doing, just playing like they own a business and doing whatever they want to do with millions and millions of dollars, and on top of that, have the ability to go borrow millions of dollars.
And when I said no, I'm thinking of Fairfax County, where I live. The taxes are astronomical. There are nine board members. They're board members. They're called county supervisors. They just voted themselves a 20. Now remember, they're part time, right? They just voted themselves a $20,000 pay increase. They keep building themselves Taj Mahals all over the place. I mean, they just use taxpayer dollars to build these huge buildings, these office buildings for themselves. They're just building new police headquarters. I mean, it's about six times the size of where the police are right now. They have all these satellite offices, but no, they've got to build all of this stuff. I mean, the abuse of the tax dollars is astronomical. I mean, they just abuse money all over the place. I don't think that they're going to do any better a job. I don't want to give them three times as much because our taxes are very, very high. I don't want to give them three times as much. What I want to do is just go back to, you want to buy a house? Here's your house. It's on
and you maintain it and take care of it.
You know, instead of paying three times as much taxes or paying an HOA, you have the money to hire someone to come and take care of the outside.
Oh, I totally agree to that. I should have clarified what I was speaking is if you wanted to be in one of these connected type, you know, condo, townhouse type communities, where you had the amenities of the pool and that sort of thing, and they did all the maintenance and you didn't have to do it, which is more like an apartment building or an apartment complex, but you wanted to be an owner, then you would have an option to pay the money to, as part of your taxes. It would be part of your taxes to take care of it. I mean, it wouldn't be the perfect solution either, but I think it would be far cry better than what we've got going on now all across the country with all these volunteer board members that don't know what they're doing, that are embezzling the money and hiring vendors that are giving them kickbacks and the property manager, you know, all the mess we've got.
Nyla, think about it. They're no different than the government.
Well, I know.
Think about it. They're no different than the federal government.
We need a change in the government.
We need a change. We need changes, huge changes. With townhouses or row houses, you don't need an HOA. We've had them for centuries, and you just don't need it. I mean, it's like a single-family home. It's just that they're attached. We have some here in Alexandria. We have a few older ones that don't have an HOA, and they survive very nicely. In fact, a lot of CAI members seem to live in those. They're bigger, they're older, and they've been there. They're 100 years old, and there is no HOA. They work very well. If you go to Europe,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go on.
How does it work in that situation with a contiguous roof?
They don't build them with contiguous roofs. I mean, I live in a townhouse and I have a separate roof. It's not just one flat roof across the top. It's like, you know, they're slightly different levels. They're different roofs. Everything is different except that you have two side walls.
Okay, so I understand how that would work better, but let's go to the far extreme of this. Let's say that you're in one of those and there is no HOA. And the person next door remodels the place, does a lot of construction, completely changes the look of it. are they able to make those changes, or is it designated when you buy it that it is what it is and you can't do that?
No. I think some of the older ones, they have these historic districts that say, all right, if you're going to make any changes, they have to comply with the history. And you sort of, but it's not an HOA. Some of them
You couldn't have somebody come in the middle of a row of four of these units and break out the number two unit and build some big monster in there.
No, okay. Because you do have, because of the walls, but there's nothing to stop them from adding to the front or the back.
It's not
a tragic situation. I mean, you just get on with it. But in Europe, they have the high rises, and they've had them for centuries. People still live in them. I mean, in Paris and all over Europe, you have them. And there's not, I mean, it's owned in common with everyone, but it's the actual owners who have an annual meeting. There's a manager. The manager is told by the owners what to do. If the owners think that something needs to be done, they'll take a vote. If they need more money, they'll take a vote. The manager's then told, all right, now here you go. You will do this, you will do that, you will do the other. And it is done. Smaller buildings, they get together. Somebody says, yep, I think we need to do this. And somebody says, well, I'll look around for some, get some bids on that. And we'll get something taken care of. So it's not, you don't need to be treated like a child. You don't need to have your neighbors peeping in, looking over the fence, photographing you, tattling on you. All of that is just so stupid.
Well, and that's where the HOA concept totally breaks down, is because you have neighbor ruling neighbor.
Yeah.
And that's where it breaks down, because neighbors don't want to be told how to live by the neighbor.
But what we've also done is we've created a situation where we've created a bunch of ninnies. So
yes.
You've got homeowners who are afraid of doing anything for themselves. For instance, one of the stories that we have is a neighbor who's complaining about a crying baby. I mean, you cannot cry. You can only cry between the hours of such and such and such and such for no more than 3 minutes. Come on. Do you really need that?
I wrote about that one.
Did you write about that one? Tell us about it.
I did. I wrote about that one.
Tell us about it.
Well, I read the story, and I thought, this is so absurd that somebody would complain about a crying baby. But then as I thought through the process of that, I thought, the problem isn't the crying baby. The problem is the construction. The place is constructed like a cereal box. All of these new places.
Yeah.
They're just like, there's no sound barriers. Everybody can hear, if you flush the toilet, if you sneeze, if you turn the TV up too loud, if the alarm clock goes off. When my neighbor shuts the vanity drawer in his bathroom, I can hear it.
Yeah.
So if you're cooking something and you've got a timer set, the neighbor hears that. If the dog's barking, you hear your neighbor's dog barking. If the neighbor's, playing their piano or practicing their saxophone, you hear that. There is no sound barrier between anybody.
It's not
the crying baby. It's the building, the construction of the building.
Well, I keep saying they're built with cardboard and scotch tape.
They are.
They're horrible. They're absolutely. It's an absolute disgrace. No wonder
Go ahead.
No wonder they leak like a sieve.
Well, yeah, and that's the other reason that I say about apartments. Apartment owners, investors, they want tenants to come and stay. So they're going to build better quality, because it's going to reduce their cost on maintenance, but it's also going to retain their tenants. You don't have, I mean, I've lived, like I said, in that apartment building for 5 years before I bought my first house, and I didn't hear everything my neighbors were doing. They didn't hear everything I was doing.
Yeah, I think
the places were built sound. You know, they were very solid.
I think some of them are and some of them are not. We have some really cheap, chintzy apartments. It's just the cost of construction.
That's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate because we look down our noses at the rest of the world, and yet we're living in this garbage.
You're better off living in an RV.
Well, a lot of people seem to be moving into the garden shed nowadays.
Absolutely, because then, you know, I've said this before, that I'm not so sure my next roof over my head isn't going to be an RV, because after this experience, one, I won't ever own in an HOA again, and two, if I'm in a place where the neighbors are not getting along, I can hook up and pull out and be gone with my home.
It's like being a tortoise. You just take your house and walk away with it.
Exactly. So I've started thinking a lot broader about where I want to be and how I want to live once I'm out of this nightmare, because I know I'll never come back to this type of living again. It's just not going to happen.
I think you told me once.
It's stressful.
I think you told me once your father warned you against living in an HOA. Yes?
He sure did. He sure did. He was a builder and a developer, and he told me to never buy in an HOA. And he passed away in 1988, and I know when I see him again, he's going to say, "Girl, why didn't you listen to me?" But I also think that knowing that, that is what propels me to want to educate other people and to work with the legislators, because I knew from my very first house that I bought, my dad helped me find that house. It was a wonderful house. I wish I would have never sold it, but it was in a beautiful neighborhood with no HOA. And so I knew way back then, but I never said, "Dad, why do you tell me not to buy in an HOA?" I just knew not to do it, but I never said, why? And I'm sure if I would have asked that question, he would have told me everything that I've now learned the hard way. So, yeah, I knew better, and I did it anyway, thinking that he had been gone long enough that surely these things had changed and they were a good thing. I know you're going to laugh at me, Sue.
They have changed, Nyla, not for the better, though.
I know. I know, they did change.
They
for
did.
The worse.
They
yeah.
did change.
No, I know I should, you know, I know now why he told me not to do it, because he would have seen all of these risks involved, and, you know, how neighbor would be ruling neighbor, and lawsuits could end up happening, and people could be fined and liened and foreclosed. And he would have known all of that by the industry that he was in and the exposure that he had to it. But I do remember when other developers would call him and ask him, "Do you want to, you know, build in my neighborhood?" They wanted him in there because he was a very quality builder. And he'd ask him, "Do you have an HOA? Are you going to restrict this to where I can't sell to a Jewish person or a black person?" And they would say yes. And he'd say, "No, thank you. I'm not interested in building there."
So they still had those kinds of restrictive covenants then?
Oh, very much so. Mm-hmm.
Because it's
very much so.
Yeah, because at some point, the courts and the government said that's illegal. You can't do that.
This was before the days of the civil rights. This was in the late 1950s and early 1960s.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah, it was before the civil rights, you know, laws were put in, you know, the civil rights movement and all the laws were changed for fair housing and everything. And but I remember him saying that on the phone to people, but it didn't really register with me because I was a little girl. But I do remember, you know, people asking him to come and build, but he built only in the subdivisions that did not have HOAs. And I can drive through those subdivisions today, and they're just as beautiful today as they were back in the early 1960s.
Very quick story, and you know, we don't want these restrictive covenants, but there was one story out of California a few years ago, about 20 years ago. One builder did have a restrictive covenant. He said that no lawyers allowed in his subdivision. A lawyer came and tried to buy in his subdivision, and he said, sorry, you're a lawyer. We don't sell to lawyers. So the lawyer filed a lawsuit and said, discrimination, went to court, and the judge said, nope, you're not a protected class, so no exactly. discrimination. So he was not allowed to buy in there. So not all of these are a bad deal. Nyla, we're out of time.
It's amazing, Shu. Thank you so much for all that you do and will continue to do. And whatever I can do to help, let me know.
Thank you for all of the articles, and I know that you help a lot of people. And thank you for doing that. And make me a promise, Nyla.
What's that?
When you do move into a non-HOA place, that you will not give up the fight.
Oh, I won't.
Good.
Till my last breath.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for joining us.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.